Electric Avenue. The most important issues of the day. This is the Rick Smith Show.
RickSmithShow.com. So, as we've been talking about, evidently no shutdown, but the national emergency. And one of the first people who predicted, along with me, that this would be the path, that he would declare a national emergency, this was the way forward, was Bob Ney. And I got Bob on the line. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So, are you obviously not surprised? You predicted that this was the route Trump was going to take.
I thought he would, and he's going to. I'm also thinking that one of the first grabs will be a fund in the Pentagon, and I haven't seen this in the paper yet, but there's an $80 million fund he could access, and that could be used for design engineering, et cetera. Now, if you look at the act from the 70s up of this act, the one thing is that Congress designated 16 different entities of 136 that they have oversight over, but they all also let the president go unaffected on about 116 some other ways. They've left loopholes in these, so it's been used on occasions. Construction monies. In one case, there was biological chemical warfare. On another case, President Carter used it to go after the Iranians. So it's been used at various times. Now, those were never challenged in court. So, this would be different.
I got to assume this is going to end up in the court system.
I think it'll end up in the court. But again, he may be able to tap when they say, well, it all needs congressional oversight. The way I read the law, and I went through it 2 months ago, actually, kind of anticipating this. The way I at least read it, there were acts, the Congress had some flaws in this thing. It may not survive a court battle, but, Rick, it could actually come to the point where Congress really doesn't have oversight, depending on where he takes it from.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Now, as I understand, there's a, I keep asking, what's Nancy Pelosi going to do now? Because evidently there's, she has the ability to, I guess, force a procedural vote in the Senate. Is that right?
Well, she could force a vote on it. I don't know what the Senate would do or how, they'd react, but, they could, take this to the wall if they wanted, and I'm sure McConnell would rather have a vote than disrupt everything.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But as I've been saying, look, this was the path forward for him because he gets to keep this as a campaign issue for 2020.
Well, he keeps it, and there's another thing he does. He is able to, if this is fought through the Congress versus the court, and if Congress doesn't have any clear authority, they can make statements, I think the one thing he would like is if this continues to be thrashed out in Congress. This is, February, right?
Yep.
We've spent 2 months now on what? Shut down in a wall. Do they want to spend March, maybe April on, going through this again? So it's almost like him controlling, he threw this in right at the end here, like a shocker, which now gets another week of, what are they all going to do in the media?
Yeah, and I guess in his mind, he thinks you're slowing down the investigatory process, as Democrats have hearings on the Hill. I seem to think Democrats can walk and chew gum at the same time, at least I hope they can. And I hope they continue the investigations, even with the diversion here.
Right. So we'll see. I mean, it's a court process, I think.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But you brought up Iran there. And look, ultimately, and I was thinking about this today, my entire life, I remember as a kid, going back into the late 70s, I remember as a kid, we were always, there was always going to be a war, that we always thought there was going to be a war with Iran. In fact, I remember, in school, kids, playing army and, shooting, the ragheads, the tallheads, whatever they were using at the time, which is offensive and is wrong, but I remember that as a kid, and here we are all these years later. We're still on the brink of war with Iran, it seems.
Well, yes, you know, I moved to Iran in 1978, January the 2nd, actually. Jimmy Carter and his wife were there for New Year's Eve in that year. And Iran then, you know, started into the revolution. I was teaching at the Iran-America Society over there. So, you know, I was there during the revolution when it started, and then I left, of course. And later on in my life, you know, I was involved with issues, working with Madeleine Albright, and I went to the United Nations when Khamenei came in, or Khatami, rather, the first reformist, you know, came in, and we went out to the United Nations, and it was pre-planned and pre-staged. We were introduced, and we waved to the crowd, but we didn't actually go shake hands with the president of Iran. These were setting stages, right? We did this for the Clinton administration. And the Bush administration, I must say, through the State Department, we did certain things. Vic Snyder, a Democratic member from Arkansas, Ron Paul was involved, Dennis Kucinich, Joe Biden, Senator Biden. We worked with him. We went to Stockholm, had, you know, communications. So we did that through the Bush administration. And then the Bush administration, you know, took a hard line and wouldn't do a deal with Iran to stop the centrifuges. Along came President Obama, and he rolled back the centrifuges, which was a huge deal, right? So President Trump goes through Tillerson, Secretary of State, who says, hey, Iran's complying. Now, we might not like the regime.
Right.
We might not like the clerics, but they were complying. And President Trump got mad at that, and eventually, of course, Pompeo comes in, John Bolton, who's never seen a war he doesn't want to miss, you know, and the National Security Advisor, and the whole thing turns in a different direction. So now they have this conference on Iran starting in Warsaw, Poland today. And it's very fascinating, Rick, because it was built as a conference on Iran. What do we do about Iran? Well, so many people, including Poland, started to balk at making this the point of the conference, that they, United States participants, said, oh, okay, well, it's going to be about Middle East security and economic growth.
There you go.
Right? So Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, gets off the plane, right? And here's his Twitter quote. An open meeting with representatives of leading Arab countries that are sitting down together with Israel in order to advance the common interests of war with Iran. Let me repeat the last line. The common interests of war with Iran. Now, an hour later, the Twitter posting was changed to say, advance the common interests of combating Iran.
It's the same thing, though.
Well, why would you let that kind of post be up for an hour?
Oh, no. And look, that was most certainly a message to Iran. Yeah. That was most certainly intentional. No one makes that kind. You don't use the war word accidentally. That doesn't autocorrect to war. It just doesn't do that.
So we had already said, hey, we're dumbing this down. We don't want to get that out front about Iran. This is the United States. Now, earlier in the day, Rudy Giuliani flew over there, and he gave a speech not on behalf of the Trump administration, but on behalf of a group called the Mojahideen Cult, known as MEK. I've had a history with them. I actually had them thrown out of the Capitol one time. The MEK took our hostages. They are the ones who took our hostages, assassinated Americans, killed Iranians. They were communist-backed and organized. Now, the MEK got decertified, so I can't call them a terrorist group anymore, but John Bolton and Rudy Giuliani received about $150,000 in monetary fees from the MEK. So, of course, he's over there saying, oh, these are the legitimate people. Well, number one, any Iranian in Iran that hates the regime hates the MEK worse, or just the same.
Right.
Because they would, you know, be like slaves under the MEK. So this is what's going on in Warsaw, Poland. And it's like viewed almost by the rest of the world as, why did you waste your time? It's beating a war drum, which I argue that, you know, hey, nothing's better than a good war during a presidential election to keep the incumbent in there.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not doing that again. That was the argument when George Bush was in the White House. We're at war. We can't change presidents. I was going, yes, we can, and we must. And if we end up in a war with Iran, we must change.
And I know I went through a long, dissertation there, but this really, I don't think people are focusing on, the United States is trying to gin this up to extreme tension. And the purpose of the conference is also to get Europe to stop and void the nuclear deal. The only thing stopping Iran right now from building centrifuges is Europe.
Right.
If you void the nuclear deal and Iran builds centrifuges, what's the option? War.
Yeah. No, and anytime I think of war with Iran, and look, I'm not someone who will shy away from a fight. I'm not a pacifist, although some people think so. I'm just very judicious in the fights that we take on. And I think of a guy I had on the show a number of times over the years, Larry Korb. He's one of the military experts over at the Center for American Progress. And his line was, if you think the war in Iraq was fun, just wait till we go into Iran, because they actually have guns that shoot and planes that fly.
Yes, and people didn't know how to do them because they were trained here in Texas years ago.
No, and that's the thing. And I don't know, as a country, that we're ready for that kind of a conflict. I think this would go very poorly for us as a nation.
Yes. So I just think that it was a fiasco over in Europe, and the intent was to gin up about Iran. Now, who's also behind this? I quoted Netanyahu, but the ones with the biggest smiles on their face in Europe are the Saudis. This is what they want.
Right.
They want... they want it to be deflected away from them that they chop people to pieces. The crown prince does for fun. They want to make sure that deflection's there. And so they were behind all of this today.
Who was the guy? I think it's Tom Barrack, the guy who said that, evidently we do worse things than the Saudis do.
Really?
Yeah, one of Trump's big backers, financial backers.
Oh, okay.
Just recently said that, we do worse things here in the U.S. than the Saudis do. And I'm going, really? When was the last time we chopped somebody up in an embassy? Or maybe we did, and I didn't get the memo on it.
I also lived in Saudi Arabia, too, in Jeddah. So, it's as much as I love my country and as much as a lot of things don't go right here, can't compare us in Saudi Arabia. I mean, they do slice everybody's heads and hands off that get in their way, so.
Yeah, that's and I'm taken by Giuliani, America's mayor, selling his soul for $150,000 to me. When you're at the level that he's at, doesn't sound like an awful lot of money. I mean, it sounds like he sold himself pretty cheap.
Well, actually, Rick, when this all began, I thought Giuliani had done some decent things, and went through 911. I went out there and I saw Giuliani out there. And then when I saw what he was doing with the fees with the Mujahideen Khalq way back when, I thought, what do you do for money? And it was, I thought it was sad.
Yeah,
he evolved to that.
I guess, I look at the whole political thing, and I look at how cheap some people are bought, and I'm going, I've never been in that situation, but I don't think a couple thousand dollars would sway me one way or the other.
At that time, like I said, he was paid by them when they were an official terrorist group.
And as I understand, he was part of the reason that they're no longer an official terrorist group.
Correct. That's right.
Well, make America great again, right, I guess?
Yeah, there you go.
Scary stuff. Let's move on. Evidently, the House Judiciary Committee advanced a gun control bill. Is that it?
Well, it's the first bill in decades, and what they did advance on a party-line vote, a bill out of the committee. I haven't actually, read the bill yet, but it would, just call for registration, for the firearms. I don't know what the circumstances are. I wish I could have gotten more information by, time tonight, but it did get out of the committee.
I mean, today, obviously, the anniversary of the Parkland shooting. The legislation has some, some significance there. As I understand, it's about background checks and also about, some of these gun purchases and making sure that you don't have, I know you can go to some of these gun shows and you can buy a gun and nobody really checks you out. There's got to be something that stops that kind of a flow. And look, I'm not someone who's a gun grabber. I think you should have the right to have a hunting rifle or pistol to defend your home. I'm a little leery on the AK-47s. I think that's a bit extreme. I don't know that you need that for deer hunting. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see, again, how much money the NRA gets to raise off of this.
And we'll see what if it hits the floor or not.
Yeah, well, the other side of that. And finally, the Violence Against Women Act. What's going on there?
Well, this one was a hard story to, I think, for a lot of people to, you know, grasp, because what the story said was that the Democratic side did not want an extension of the act until September, which Mitch McConnell wanted to put in the bill to extend the Violence Against Women Act, which expires tomorrow if it's not extended. Now, the Democratic side didn't want an extension for the basic reason that they want to look at the act, add some things to it, look at situations of where people live. If an abuser gets out of control, should they allow the landlord to throw the entire family out? There are certain gun issues there, et cetera, et cetera. So at the first glimpse, Rick, you would say, well, Mitch McConnell's trying to extend the act till September, and the Democratic side didn't want to.
Yeah, I'm not
buying
that.
They knew if Mitch McConnell got it extended in September, none of these issues would be debated because McConnell would say, well, hey, you know, it's extended till September. We don't have to debate these issues now. So this allows a debate of different issues that would go in there. So the Democratic side won on not extending that for right now.
Yeah, so what does it mean if, you know, it's not extended? Does it mean it's the Wild West again and all kinds of insanity happens?
No,
what does it mean if it doesn't
actually
get extended?
There's still money appropriated in the bill, and, you know, it's just time for, it'll give time for people to talk about, you know, the issue itself and see what they want to try to add to the bill.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, I don't know how you can be against protecting women from or anyone from, you know, abusive spouses or boyfriends or girlfriends or any of that stuff. I don't know how you can be against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the extension would have looked like McConnell wanted to really give it, you know, a longer life. But in actuality, the Democratic side feared that then issues couldn't be debated.
Yeah, I see, anything McConnell does, I got to look at with a jaundice eye. I got to go, you know, there's something under here. If he looks like the good guy, be wary.
Right.
It's one of those things where if you shake his hand, check your watch. At least that's my thought. But there you go. Bob, I appreciate the time. Great talking
with you.
You
too. Bye-bye.
Our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. I'll tell you, it scares the you-know-what out of me. What Bob was laying out with, you know, potentially a war with Iran. Because, you know, you look at Trump, I think we could easily win the war with Iran. And you got Bolton, you got Pompeo, you got all of these people who... Be afraid. Be very, very afraid. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.